So first, I'd like to introduce Aaron Braunscheidel, who is the Special Projects Coordinator at Maryland's Food Supplement and Nutrition Education Program, and her co-presenter, which is Stephanie Grootsmacher, also a Faculty Research Associate at University of Maryland School of Public Health. And Aaron and Stephanie are going to talk today about the development and evaluation of a text message campaign to promote nutrition education. And so I'm going to turn it over to them at this point to give you more details.
Thank you, Doug. Okay, welcome. So Stephanie and I are going to talk today about Text to Be Healthy, which is a program within Maryland State's SNAP Ed program, or Food Supplement Nutrition Education program. So for those of you who may be less familiar with SNAP Ed, it is the nutrition education arm to the food supplement program, or formerly known as the food stamp program. And so we have nutrition educators across the state in Maryland providing nutrition education programs in the community to youth, parents, adults, families alike. So why text messages? Well, how many of those of you in the room today have a cell phone on you? Probably pretty much everybody, right? Unlike maybe carrying around a computer or a television even for other ways to get communication messages. So text messages, they're widely available. Most adults in the U.S. have cell phones. 96% of those have texting capabilities to send or receive messages. It's also a way to reach your audience real time in the context of whatever their health behavior is at the moment. Where they are, whatever they're doing, you can reach them via text message. It also offers the ability to reach participants on a personal level with very targeted messages. And so we'll talk a little bit about that shortly, about how we tailored our messages to our audience. So how has texting been used in health promotion? Not a whole lot in nutrition education programming, we came to learn. But it has been used to improve attendance in healthcare settings, to provide audiences with appointment or information reminders, and most frequently are often in hard-to-reach or transient populations, including low-income populations. So getting into the details about Text to Be Healthy, so this program was developed in Maryland to reach parents of elementary school children who receive our nutrition education programming at school. So we use the school, the elementary school in particular, as the hub to provide this program because, if you think about it, there's so much we know about an individual by knowing where their child goes to public school. So without asking parents or without asking the individual very specifics about their lives, we know just in the nature of where their child goes to school, most often some of the grocery stores that they may shop at, local farmers markets that are available to them, other community resources including libraries or recreation centers. We know what the weather's like on any given day in that area. We also know what's going on at the school, what events are taking place, and what's on the school lunch menu. What are their choices for their children on the following day? So we're able to structure very targeted messages for these parents, action-oriented messages to take advantage of the resources that are in their immediate community and in their personal surroundings. So the way that we have set up our program is it's a web-based platform. We're able to send text messages, so we're not sitting in a room texting thousands of parents around Maryland State. It is able to be set up automated via the web, and parents are able to enroll by choice by texting in a keyword to our phone number. And so we can tie them to a specific school that they are enrolled in because we know they texted grape to our phone number or apple or whatever the keyword is for that school. And then we're able to send them their targeted messages. And we send about 2 to 3 messages a week. We are also targeting a low-income population, so it's very critical that we are not causing a charge to our participants, an added charge by participating in our program. So we do offer the messages to be disseminated via email as well. So for those who maybe do not have text message capabilities on their phone or do not have an unlimited texting plan. So these are examples of some of the text messages that we've sent. There are really kind of three main categories of messages that we send. The first are community events that I mentioned. So local grocery store sales on healthy food items, what to do with it, how to prepare it for your child. Are there community events, health fairs? The second is physical activity messages. We are a nutrition education program, so we predominantly focus on nutrition messages, but we do also include about a third of our messages as physical activity. And these often relate to the weather. If it's 5 feet of snow, it's not realistic to say, go outside and run around with your child. And so it definitely ties to local events, the weather, and that sort of thing, time of the year. And lastly, our nutrition programming that's going on in the school. So this is our effort to engage parents in what children are learning in the classroom, and then also to continue the behavior change in the home as well. And so this is kind of the main crux of our program. So if we're teaching their child in school about fruits and veggies, and they're able to taste some new fruits and veggies in school, and then we send a newsletter home to tell parents about what they've learned and how to continue that in the home, we send a text message to let them know, hey, check your child's backpack for this newsletter and learn more about what they learned in school today and what you can do at home. So this is, it's fun, but it's also all in 160 characters. So you can imagine writing a very effective and targeted message with all sorts of information in less than 160 characters. So we had a pilot program in the spring, and as you can see, we didn't have as big of an enrollment as we had hoped for. And we'll be talking shortly about our program that we launched again this school year and had a much higher enrollment. But I'm going to invite Stephanie up now to talk about the evaluation portion of the program.
As Erin mentioned, we have quite a number of lessons learned to offer in terms of implementing a text-based program. And when we sat down together to design the evaluation, we had so many process questions because there really wasn't a lot of literature to draw on about how to do any of these things. So we have quite an extensive evaluation. And during our pilot year, we got started in January because we were waiting for approval of the project through our funding agency. And we got some hesitant approval that required a lot of checking in and a lot of oversight and whatnot. I think that there's less fear now about doing these types of programs, and the fear around causing cost to participants and all those kinds of things now that we've been able to do the pilot. But because we started mid-year, we had a very small number of people enroll, and we also learned a lot of lessons about how to enroll people most effectively, which I'll share with you today. So we did lots of different things. We distributed paper pre- and post-test surveys in January and June to all of the parents at all of the participating schools and several control schools as well. We also used the text message platform to send questions via text message to the individuals who had enrolled in the program. And we conducted dropout surveys with anyone who had enrolled and then texted stop to the number at any point during those few months. And finally, at the end of the school year, we went back to all of the schools and we did brief surveys and sort of focus groups, in-person questioning, and lots of poking around to figure out how people felt about the program, what they knew about it, what they didn't know about it, and how we might redirect some of our enrollment efforts to try to get more people engaged in the program. So in terms of process evaluation, we really didn't have any sense of what an effective strategy to recruit would be. So in the pilot year, we basically had this giant expensive blitz where we sent all kinds of stuff home, and basically everything said text to be healthy, text this to this, water bottles, frisbees, lots of promotional materials, flyers, posters. We tried to get the school staff and administration to talk to parents about the program, but we, like you saw, we had about 200 people. So that's one thing that we wanted to investigate: what was the stuff that was really working, and what really fell flat and wasn't worth the money that we put into it. We also wanted to know what response rate we would get from text messages. Right at the beginning of the program, we were actually getting people texting back to us when we weren't asking them questions. So people actually perceive that you're literally sitting there, like, sending them a message, and then they send you one right back. Oh, thanks, that's great. I'm going to go, you know, get these carrots, but now that I know they're on sale. So we did think that people would be more inclined to text back than we had originally thought prior to starting the program. And we also needed to know a lot more about cell behavior. There's some really good information from the Pew American Life dot, 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 that thing with the big long title, about what people's cell and internet behaviors are, but we didn't have some of the very specific pieces of information that we needed to target our specific population. We didn't know about people's texting frequency and preferences, any more than that report would let on. And we also didn't know how many devices people had and whether that was going to affect our ability to enroll people consistently over time or collect data via the text message platform. We didn't know what types of devices people had, so we might know in the broad population how many people have smartphones versus not smart but text-enabled phones, but we didn't know for our specific population. And we also didn't know what plan types people had. And FNS told us when they said, yes, you can do this project, you know, if you cost anybody a dime, you're in big trouble. And so we didn't know how many people in our population actually had unlimited plans where costing them something was not a threat at all versus people who were paying per message or paying for a set number of messages. Both conditions might have created the situation where they were being charged for overages, which we were concerned about. We also conducted outcome evaluation. Although we're not going to be able to utilize these data from the pilot year, we do have them for the current year as well, and we just got in zillions of pretest surveys in the last couple of months. So maybe next year at APHA we can come back and tell you about our outcomes. But we did measure fruit and vegetable consumption for parents and a target child and physical activity for parents and a target child. We also last year collected some information about stages of change, just assuming that if people weren't ready or interested, even though they might have been curious about signing up for the program, that we would be, you know, less likely to see changes in those groups. And basically, we spent most of this energy, because of the low enrollment numbers and because of our small cell size in each of our six groups, we spent most of our energy looking at last year's program as an opportunity to figure out about recruitment, successful recruitment strategies. For this current year, we just changed a little bit of the way we framed the program to potential participating sites. So we have long-standing relationships with all the schools that are participating with our regular school-based FS&E education programs. And so we thought that we had enough buy-in from staff and principals last year to be able to make this work. But this year we just changed a tiny little thing in our conversations with them. We said, you need to enroll a minimum number of parents in the program, and if you do not meet this minimum, your parents will be put into a non-targeted text message program that's not about the school or the school environment or community events and opportunities, but will just be sort of a generic healthy messages type of program. And after we had that conversation, I'll show you enrollment numbers in a second, but that went pretty well. So those school goals really helped us set higher targets, and principals started to utilize a lot more of the things at their disposal, like their robocall systems and seeing parents face-to-face to get them to pull out their phones and text into the program. And the one school that we saw really a lot of success with, the principal stood up at the choir concert and she said, everybody take out your phone right now. She didn't really ask them, she just told them. And everybody did it, and we had a lot of people from that school participate versus some of the other places that the recruitment wasn't so successful. The other thing that we changed that was really critical was actually that we started collecting phone numbers this year. We found that there were, for a lot of reasons, people were not texting the keyword into the number on their own, but they wanted us to do it for them. And so we said, okay, so now we have these long lists of phone numbers, we're doing it ourselves, and our enrollment has gone up by 5 or 6 times what it was last year. Other barriers to enrollment from last year's program, people didn't know they could enroll. Even though we focus group tested all of the recruitment posters and materials, and we thought that they were going to be just fine and the message was very clear, people didn't know, so we changed that a little bit. Also, the cost of texting issue, we did find that most people were well aware if their plans were going to end up costing them money, and they did not accidentally enroll in a program that would charge anything to them. Most of the people had unlimited programs. Some people were apprehensive about what we were going to text them. I think when you're a free or publicly funded program, an educational program, you get really confused with a not free and not educational program. Some of the parents told us that they would text into programs that would send them like ads from bars and stuff about like, you know, Thursday night, come get this drink special or whatever. And so obviously that's not us. But it doesn't mean we're not confused with those types of programs. We also realized that people might have had phones where the short code texting capacity was disabled, or they actually didn't know how to send a message to somebody that isn't in their address book. So 30644 isn't in their address book, and they didn't know that you could just type those 5 numbers right at the top in that 2 field. They thought it had to be something that was programmed, and so just the knowledge about how to send the text message itself kept a lot of people from enrolling. This is an example, I think we are just running out of time. This is an example of one of the text message questions that we had. So you can see that first message is about eating breakfast before the state testing. And the second message was sort of like, you know, did this actually happen? Text, you know, one for yes, zero for no. And this is the type of message that we've been sending to collect some data via the platform. And we did have reasonable response rates. They dropped off a little bit across the messages from last year, but it's not as low as we would have expected. People really liked the program. They said that the texts were helpful, and most people wanted to enroll again over time. So people really thought that we were like taking a lot of time out of our work lives to send something personalized and targeted. So I think that even though texting has capacity to be something that can cost very little money and get you really large reach, we're finding that the part that people appreciate the most is actually the targeted part, which means you can't have a huge reach. So that was something that we thought was interesting as well. And this is a chart just showing the frequency with which people did some of the behaviors suggested in the messages themselves. Again, people did pretty reasonably, I think, considering that a lot of these things are really difficult to change. I'm going to flip to this end here, this last slide, since I'm totally out of time, and just say quickly that buy-in is really critical. You have to find a way to reach the audience that's going to be effective, and even if you pilot test or focus group things, you might not really get right at it right away, that you should do in-person enrollment promotion and offer to collect phone numbers, and also just make sure that all of the messages that you're sending are going to be received well by the audience and not perceived as impossible or too expensive or too time-consuming and whatnot. Same kinds of things that apply to other communications and other social marketing campaigns, but there's a little bit of weirdness with the texting platform that has to be considered as well. So we're happy to take questions. I have to run out because I have another paper right now, but Erin will happily answer questions at the end of the session. Thanks.